Those of you who were at the party yesterday have slightly recovered. It was a fun time, and you always worn out after you go to a party. This is how it is. Anyway, good to see each of you here today. Hope you have a copy of the 101 book nearby. We'll be singing song number 20. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please, as we sing song number 20 in the 101 book. whose birthday it would have been if he were still with us. His brother Les Pirelli's birthday. It would have been his birthday this week. And, he's celebrating his first birthday in heaven. So none of them are here yet this morning, but we want to continue to pray for the family this time. But that was the only birthday listed in the calendar this week. If you would take your little booklet here, continue with our memory passage. We're on page number 12. Take just a moment. We just did the very first verse on that page last week. Did anyone learn that verse and would like to say it for us? We will just do the first two then. We'll repeat what's here. All right. Assurance based on the fact of Christ's resurrection. The empty tomb. Matthew 28:6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Resurrected according to Old Testament scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. All right. Well, we'll do one more song here before the children's class is dismissed. Stay right where you were there. Song number 23, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. If you're able to stand again one more time, let's do so, please. Song number 23.
Everybody, appreciate your prayers this morning. There's a lot going on, and I just appreciate your prayers through these services here. Yes, just definitely need prayer this morning. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. We were looking at it last week, talking about Adam here and how the Lord has made a helpmeet for them. for them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him," which means fitting or suitable for him. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought unto him unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning, dear God. Lord, I ask for your help. Dear God, I just ask for your help this morning, Lord. I pray you lead, God, and direct, dear God. Give me the thoughts, Lord, and direction to go this morning. Lord, that you would be glorified, honored, and praised, and Lord, be magnified. I ask for your protection this morning, Lord. I pray you keep your hand upon us, Lord. I pray you keep the enemy at bay. And Lord, if there's any evil spirits in here this morning, dear God, those that are living in sin, Lord, maybe bringing things into this church service this morning, dear God, I pray you deal with it. Lord, I pray you deal with it. Lord, all is vain unless you meet with us, dear God, and I ask for your help now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, I don't know why I'm saying the things I'm saying this morning, but if you're living in sin right now, you need to make it right with God. Make it right with God. Because I've been saved almost going on 22 years now, and the way I was raised and things like that, and some may look at me a little crazy, and that's fine. But I definitely know over the years and all the preaching I've done, I'm not saying this to lift myself up, but I definitely know when the Spirit's quenched and things are going on behind the scenes, and there's stuff going on. There's stuff going on. And I believe God's tried to get attention through the months and time that I've been here, and I pray that individuals would take heed to it. I really do. The Bible says in verse number 19, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and all fowl of the air and every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found an help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.'" So from the very beginning here, Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible makes it very clear that God has established both a man and a woman. There is no room. There is no excuse. You're not born that way. You're not set up that way. It is a choice. Because if you read through your Bible, the Lord never puts anyone to death because they didn't have a choice in the matter. If someone was a witch or a sorcerer or an enchanter or those things, God made clear in the book of Deuteronomy that they were to be put to death because those were decisions that they made and chose to follow that line. But the Bible also makes it clear that things that were to happen to people by just by the way they were born, God never put someone to death because of the way they were born with a deformity. And that is also listed in the book of Deuteronomy. Adam, from the very beginning, God said of Adam and Eve, a man with a woman, and a man and a woman that ought to be married. That ought to be married. When you're living together and you're not married, that's called fornication, and it's a sin before God. And there's no way around it. And our society today is full of it, and even in churches, and it's put across as if it's okay, it's fine. God just overlooks it. God does not overlook it. Look, just because we're in the New Testament and we're in a dispensation of grace does not mean God has changed from what he used to be. God is not different. He is the same God of the Old Testament as he is of the New Testament. Except we're in a period right now to where God has put forth grace through faith in Jesus Christ to where your sins can be forgiven. Brethren, I've said it before, I didn't come to Catasauqua, Pennsylvania just to play church. I did not come up here just because it's something that Chris Walton wanted to do. And let me give pastoring a shot and let's see how it goes, and then I'll just move on my way if it don't work out that way. I'm not here because of that. I'm here because I want to draw closer to God and I want to be pleasing to him. Amen. But when you we're going to look at some things in the evening service. God's directing me, and it's been super, super heavy. But I'm going to be preaching during the morning service about wolves. And Brother Rodney Meyer said it at the induction ceremony here, and it's the longer I'm here, I'm realizing, Lord, yes, I can see within churches there are wolves who seek to destroy and undermine the authority that God set up. And if any of you have spent any amount of time with me, I am not one to lord myself over anyone. Actually, the opposite, I'd rather run the other direction. It is not my personality. But more and more I'm realizing as a pastor that it's going to come to a point where I'm going to have to deal with some things. I don't like contention. I can't stand contention. It's just not me. I would rather just walk away than have to confront somebody because it's just not who I am. I don't like confrontation. I don't like it. But one thing I'm realizing as a pastor, at some point you're going to have to do some things like that. But God, from the very beginning, set up Adam and Eve. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. God, from the very beginning, has set up an order to things here in this great universe that we live in. There's an order in creation. There's an order with the way the water system works. There's an order with the way our forest work and our ecosystems. There's an order to everything that God established. And that order even comes into the home. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 22. The Bible says here, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Subjection, the Bible shows, by the wife to the husband. Look over at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Just in case those two verses in Ephesians and Colossians is not enough, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. Bible says this, it says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. There you shoot down any individual that thinks it's all right for women to be ministers." Women are not ministers. Now, you don't argue with me. It's what the Bible says, and I'm just trying to follow what the Bible says. If you want to get another Bible that changed it to deaconesses and all that other stuff, what Phoebe was, talking about how she was a deaconess. No, there are no deaconesses in the Bible, at least the King James Bible. All right? I don't know how much plainer it gets, but the Bible says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, does that mean a woman can never talk in church? Absolutely not, or else she couldn't sing. I believe women should sing. I believe a woman can give testimony, but you even have to be careful with women giving testimony, because I've known some before who in their testimony begin to preach. And they do it underneath the guise of, well, I'm just giving a testimony. God takes this thing serious, brethren. He says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection to who? Their husband and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I suffer, which means I allow not a woman to teach unless she's teaching little kids, which is just fine. Because it says here, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over what? Over the man. It is never proper and it is always out of the order of nature when a woman tries to usurp the authority of a man. And I know this is foreign in today's society today. If I were to go outside these doors and start talking about that, I will be stoned very quickly. Because this is going against everything that society is to saying today. And brethren, just take a moment and look back. If you have a television, watch commercials. Look how women are magnified and men are looked to be at like complete idiots. Stupid. Men are stupid today. And all hail the great woman. You know what it's going back to? It's going back there to Diana, there in Ephesus, the great god Diana, and we're going to worship her. Wonder Woman and all this other nonsense, it's to glorify woman and make a man look like he's an idiot. It's going back to paganism. We are going quickly back to paganism. God expects the man to lead and to be in charge and to be a man, which we're lacking today. I'm not talking about being a dictator. A man, the Bible, and we're going to deal with men. But a woman needs to learn that she needs to be in subjection to her husband. Look at verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing when he partook of that fruit when he was standing there right there with Eve. I don't know why he didn't speak up. As we're going to see in the scriptures, he was right there with Eve. But I think what happened with Adam is what we're going to find out in the book of Esther, to where a man just gave way to his wife and let her lead, and it ran into some issues and problems. And we're going to see it in the book of Esther. The Bible says here, Adam was not deceived. Most men today know exactly what's going on with women, and most of the time they're just counting the cost. Most men, they're not stupid. They know exactly what's going on, and they're thinking, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Should I go forward with this thing with her? He's weighing the cost on it. He's not deceived. And the Bible says Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam let her down as her husband. He let the devil get into his home. He let the devil get into his marriage. And not only did it cost him and his wife death and separation from God and the garden there, it has now affected all of mankind for the last 6,000 years. Because Adam wasn't willing to do what he needed to do as a man. The Bible says next in verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Flip over to Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Titus 2, 5. Titus chapter 2, verse number 5. Actually jump up to verse 3. Titus 2, 3. The Bible says here in Titus 2, 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. Ladies, look, the Bible talks about being busybodies, going around from house to house. The Bible talks about silly women laden with sins, led astray. The Bible says here, not false accusers. Be careful what comes out your mouth because it will get around. Be careful what comes out your mouth because it will come around. False accusers, speaking of things whereof they know not of what they speak. False accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And look at this next part, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's a serious word. That's a very serious word. Women, you can blaspheme the name of God if you don't conduct yourself correctly according to the scriptures. God's name can be blasphemed. That's a serious charge that the Bible shows us here. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. So far we've looked at 1, 2, 3, 4, and now the fifth part here in the New Testament, dealing with the same subject, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1. Look what the Bible says here, 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, when it says that word conversation, it's not talking about the words coming out of your mouth and you conversing with somebody else. The word conversation here means your manner of life, your behavior, the way you act. Look what the Bible says. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. For if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You see, you have an effect on others, and others are watching you. And if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to know Jesus Christ, yet you go opposite of what God's saying you ought to be as a woman and as a wife, not only are you blaspheming the name of God, you're hindering somebody from getting saved by them watching you. You see, the Bible shows here, I believe in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, that individuals that are watching you, if they watch your chaste, discreet, how you handle yourselves correctly in the home and out in society, people are going to ask questions about it with you. You may then have an opportunity to tell them that you are doing these things because of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Because today, if you're a real woman today, a godly woman today, a holy, godly woman today, you are going to stand out and be different than this world, and it's going to cause questions the way you are. Either women are going to get mad at you, or they're going to start questioning their own selves and where they really may stand with God, with their own Christianity. But the problem today is most women want to be like men, have the position of men, have authority as men, and do their own thing, and therefore the name of God is blasphemed, and nobody asks no questions because you're just like the world. God help us today. God help us today. The Bible shows that Christians ought to be different. Christians ought to be different. There ought to be a distinction between us and the world. God calls for such. Verse number 3, while they behold, look. Chapter 3, verse number 2 in 1 Peter. While they behold, who? The lost world. While they behold, what? Your chaste conversation coupled with fear. A chaste conversation, a chaste life, a humble and a life that's being wholly lived for God, coupled with fear, individuals. You see that? Verse 3, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Look, it's not about what you wear. Verse 5 or verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, the heart. It says, in that which is corruptible, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. Even look what the Bible, look what God puts the emphasis on for a woman, even the ornament. Instead of putting on earrings and jewelry and makeup and getting all done up because you're coming to the house of God, the Lord says, away with those things, but put on the ornament of what? What are you to adorn yourself with? Of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You want to know what God puts value on as far as a woman is concerned? What God lifts up, what God holds in high esteem is a woman that has an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Look at it, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and not afraid with any amazement. Individuals, the world is watching how you conduct yourself today. Take your Bible, look over at the book of Esther, chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Esther 1 and verse number 16. The book of Esther, chapter 1 Esther 1 Esther chapter 1 and look at verse 16. Esther 1, verse 16. The Bible says here in the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 16, "And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, 'Vashti, the queen, hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the province of the king Ahasuerus.'" You see, what happened was Ahasuerus, who was basically ruling almost the whole world, he called for the queen. He was throwing this huge party. He had this banquet, and he calls for his wife, the queen. He calls for him, for her to come forth to him. But Vashti says, "I won't come." Look back up in verse number 11. "To bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by the chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him." You see, the king took pride in his wife and how beautiful she was and the crown that she wore, and he wanted to bring her in for others to see his wife. And he went and called for her, and she refused and said, "I'm not coming in there. I'm not listening to what you're asking me to do." And when I can see it right now, do you see the position this puts this king in? You want to talk about your face turning red? Now all eyes are on you, king. How are you going to handle this situation? And so the king is put in a very serious predicament here. His wife is not listening to him. Verse number 16, where verse 16 comes in, the princes come in and say, "King, this is not only going to affect you, this is going to affect us now too." Verse number 17, "For this deed of the queen shall come abroad on all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath." I don't have to listen to my husband. I ain't got to do what he's telling me. Who does he think he is? I ain't got to listen to him. That's what Vashti's saying. And the princes are coming in now saying, "King, if you don't do something, all the rest of the women, when they get ear of what the queen's done, they're going to be like, yeah, we're going to do the same thing. If she ain't got to listen to the king, I definitely ain't got to listen to you." This is the works of the devil, because it's going to destroy homes. And that's exactly what's going on today. Homes are destroyed for a lack of proper order within the home. You want to know why we got problems today? Because nobody can stay married no more. Divorce rate through the roof, even among churches. I think the churches even have surpassed sometimes the divorce rate of the world. And now you got a point today to where people just aren't getting married. Because why get married? Because we're just going to get divorced, so we'll just live together. And as long as we're happy and compatible, there's no commitment. And then if we don't like each other after 5 years, then we'll separate and go on our ways again. Everything's fine and dandy. That's why we have issues today. We've turned our back on God, and we've turned our back on the way God says things ought to be done. And if you read the rest of the story, the king says, "You're correct in what you're saying. Guess what, Vashti? You're done. You're no longer queen." And he brings in Esther. And you want to learn how a good, godly woman ought to act? Read the book of Esther. Esther was a wonderful woman. And you know how she got, the inroad in with the king? She was willing to listen to his chamberlain there that watched over the women, his harem, and Esther knew that he knew what the king liked, and we're not going to get into that today, but she asked him what pleases the king. And she did exactly what, she didn't do what she thought would please the king, she did what he thought would please the king, and she got in there with the king and ended up becoming queen and saving her people. I'm not saying, look, brethren, Esther is a perfect example of a woman and the golden key that she carries in her pocket, yet refuses to use because she decides to follow the ways of the world. You want to talk about a great woman of the Bible? Esther. And look how Esther conducted herself. Look how she carried herself. Look how humble and meek and lowly she was, and God exalted her to the position of a queen of a nation. The same as Joseph. Joseph was humble. Joseph was meek. Joseph was lowly. Joseph followed God. Joseph didn't lift himself up. Joseph wasn't full of pride. And God sent him through the fire for a number of years, 17 some plus years. But in the end, Joseph was second only to the king, Pharaoh. God gives us the keys. What are we going to do with the keys? Are we going to continue to go our own ways and have our own thoughts on things? Or are we going to try to apply what the Bible says, how we ought to be both as men and women? These are serious things today. There ought to be a difference in the home. There ought to be a difference if we claim the name of Jesus Christ. You see, husbands ought to love, nourish, cherish, honor, and dwell with them according to knowledge. That's how a husband ought to deal with his wife. You see, husbands ought not to be bitter towards their wives. Yea, they rather need to realize that their wives are the weaker vessel. That is just a fact. Look, I saw this video, this was a couple weeks ago now. I was watching some military stuff, and this thing came up, and I said, yep, that's it. And it was for the Marine Corps. And there's a thing that the Marine Corps does. I don't know if they do it outside of basic training, but with inside basic training, they have two individuals that get in this pit with each other, and everybody else is gathered around this pit. And they're put on a special helmet. They put on some protection on the front of their chest and on their back. And then they're given like these two big old huge pogo sticks, right? And what they do is one gets on this side and the other gets on that side. Everybody's gathered around. It's kind of like a gladiator type of thing, me, man, watch me, right? And so when men are going at it, man, they're hitting it. They're just smacking each other, right? But now we've let women in there. And so you get this big, tough woman. I got the video. It cracks me up every time I watch it. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And a big old boy over here, and she's like, I got this. Let me go on in there. Let me deal with him. I felt bad for her. I mean, you could tell this young man was like a bull caged up. Like, I've been waiting my whole life to do this thing. He comes forward. One hit, she was no small little lady. She goes flying back like 5 feet. He pounces on her. The two drill instructors had to get on top of him to pull him off of her. She was foolish enough to get back up again and said, you know what, I got this. Did the same exact thing to her, and she's walking up, her helmet's all turned to the side. She's like, brethren, we're not created equal. You say, well, I know some woman that can whoop your tail. Probably me, but not the strongest man in the world. You take the strongest man in the world against the strongest woman in the world, and guess what? Every single time, the strongest man's going to win. You take the fastest man in the world against the fastest woman in the world, and he is going to blow her away every single time. Just look at the world records for the Olympics. Brethren, I'm not being mean today, but God has established, and a right establishment, of a difference between a man and a woman. And when a woman is the way she ought to be and is godly, there is nothing more precious than it in the entire world. I said last week, brethren, in Proverbs chapter 31, a virtuous woman, her value, the value of a virtuous woman far surpasses anything that a ruby could give you or a diamond. Do you understand the devil wants to flip everything upside down and cause confusion and disorder and problems and everybody's miserable and taking medication because everything's turned upside down. Women are trying to be men. Men are trying to be women. Kids are trying to be adults. Adults are trying to be kids. Everything is turned upside down and everybody is sick. Because we've taken what God says and we've thrown it in the trash can and said, we can figure it out ourselves. God help us. Look, you watch China marching their troops through that square they got over there, and you ain't going to see one woman walking in that unison with those men. Well, Israel's got women in their army. Yeah, well, I don't agree with it. Just because it's Israel doesn't mean I agree with it. I think a man ought to be our combat units. I think men ought to be our infantry. Amen. Because guess what else happens to women every once a month? 1 minute, they're all nice and happy, and 2 hours later, they're ready to bite your head off of the same comment you just made to them 2 minutes earlier. That's why women, I know, go ahead, rip the preacher's head off, that's fine. They ought not to be police officers either. Or firefighters. Sorry. I've been a police officer before, and I was scared to death one time when my backup's this tall. And I'm not joking. Melanie knows exactly who I'm talking about. A little Puerto Rican girl, I'm telling you, she wasn't much bigger than this. Mighty Mouse. You know what? They skated her through the police academy because she was too short to pass the driving test. They pushed her through. Guess what? She could get somebody killed someday. I had to carry, when I was in the military, I know I was only in the Air Force, but we did carry rucksacks at some point. And it made me upset when we went on one of our final marches, and all of a sudden, all the girls were complaining about their shins hurting. They got to sit in the back of the Deuce and have one, and us guys had to carry their backpacks. That makes me sick. If you can't carry it, don't come. Brethren, I'm not playing around this morning. This is serious stuff that God has set up. God has set up a man and a woman, and a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And when they're in their proper order, there's nothing more glorious in the eyes of God. Men need to leave their homes. Look at the Bible. Look at Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse number 15. Jeremiah 44, look at verse number 15. Look what happens here with Judah. Now, Israel's already gone. The northern kingdom of Israel, which is Israel, and you still have the southern kingdom, which is Judah, but Israel, the northern kingdom's already been taken captive by Assyria. And here Jeremiah, God's trying to use Jeremiah, and he's trying to use these last-ditch efforts to save Judah from the same fate of Israel, their sister to the north. But look what Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 15 says. Then all the men which knew, do you see this? This is a, for lack of better words, I know, understand what I'm saying. This is quote unquote a Christian nation. This is a nation that has the true God, that served the true God, that had the word of the true God. And look at verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense under other gods, guess what? They didn't do nothing about it. They didn't do nothing about it. These are husbands. They knew that their wives were burning incense unto other gods, and they didn't do nothing about it. And all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouths to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Men, God expects us to lead. See, we ain't going to get home someday and be able to look at God just like Abraham did and say, or Adam did and said, the woman that you gave me. You see, you could take Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 15 through 18 or 19, almost compare it back to what Adam's doing there in the very beginning of the garden. His wife is taking charge. She's talking to the devil about things that she ought not to be talking to him about because Adam already knew better, but he's letting his wife get into this conversation. He's letting his wife go down this direction, talking to somebody where he should have pushed her aside and said, listen here, serpent, get out of here. We know what we're supposed to do with God. God said, don't eat this fruit. Get out of here. We're done with this, and we're going to do the right thing. Honey, come on. We're going to go over to the tree of life. But for whatever reason, Adam stood there, and I don't know what it is, but it's even like this today, and I think it's been like this since the beginning of time. Men have a hard time dealing with their wives. You see it here with Jeremiah, chapter 44, verse 15. The men knew, they knew that their wives were serving false gods, and they wouldn't do nothing about it. And the women were like, look at us, we're going to do this, and our men, look, hey honey, you're going to do this too, right? Come on, right? You know those kind of women like that, right, honey? Come on. Right. Honey, now, you ain't going to do this now, right? Yes, dear. Yeah, you're right. Dear. Yes. Acting like a little coward. Brethren, I would never been called to preach unless God taught me how to be a man, because I wasn't trained at home to be a man. I wasn't trained at home to be a man. I was timid to my wife when I first got married. It was easy for myself. I'll just be open and honest with you tonight or this morning. It was easy for me to yield myself to my wife because in a sense I was semi-lazy as well. But God thankfully brought me to salvation, got saved and got me in a good church underneath a good pastor and realized, and it took a number of years for me to realize, Chris, you got to be the man of the house. You got to start leading. You got to start being the individual God wants you to be as a man. And your wife will never be what she needs to be unless you start taking charge and help her out. You see, the Bible says in Peter that the wife is the weaker vessel. And the Bible tells husbands that you need to dwell with them according to knowledge. And dads ought to be teaching their sons how to have a wife and how to understand to dwell with her according to knowledge because a woman's different. But we lack these things today because we don't follow what the Bible says. So I pray that you hear me this morning. Some of these things are very heavy on my heart because God put such a great emphasis on structure, on authority. And listen, God wants us. God is trying to get the attention of the church today across the lands and some good churches, the proper structure of a home. The proper structure of a home. Our homes are being destroyed right out from underneath our very eyes inside good churches today because we failed to do what God has instructed us in His Word. The last verse I want you to look at is Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 19. This is dealing with husbands. Look what the Bible says here, and we'll close up. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19. Colossians 3:19. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. You know, brethren, one thing I do know is this, is if you love someone, you're going to do them right. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. For the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. True love. There's nothing like true love. Bible gives a command to husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives. And look what he says next. And be not bitter against them. You know what the word bitter means? Bitter means sharp. It means severe. It means sarcastic. It means hurtful or cruel. You know one thing I've had to work on as a husband? Not being bitter towards my wife. Not being sarcastic towards her. Not being sharp towards her. Not being severe towards her. Not being hurtful towards her. God, continually, I'm still in this process, to watch the words that come out of my mouth towards my wife. You know why? See, some individuals say, well, I don't like what he's preaching because then the woman's got to listen to the man. The man can just get whatever he wants to get away with, not if he's God's. Oh, no. my dear friend, if the man saved, I think sometimes a man that saves got a higher person over him than a husband over a wife. Because a husband, every once in a while, is going to slip up and just let things go. God never slips up and never lets things go. You see, a husband's got one that he's accountable to, and that's Jesus Christ. Because if a husband's not loving his wife as Christ loved the church, God has a way of ringing his bell and getting his attention. God has a way of getting a man's attention, more so than a wife could ever get her husband's attention. This is why, as a pastor, I would always counsel a wife, you just do right, pray, and let God get his attention, and not you yourself. Because God can do it a lot better than you can do it. And when God does it, it's thorough. And a man's not going to get away with it if he's truly the Lord's. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Don't be sarcastic to your wife. Don't be hurtful towards your wife. Don't be severe. Don't be cruel. Don't be sharp towards her. Dwell with her according to knowledge. Because you know what a good, godly woman is? She's a precious flower. Brethren, I think the most beautiful thing that God ever created, and I've said this before, is a woman. But you know, right up there is with it is a flower. I love walking through where I live, and there's some people that have got these beautiful gardens with flowers growing. And I love sometimes just stopping. Me and Melanie the other day, we were taking a walk, and I just stopped, and we looked at some of these flowers, and they're just beautiful. Just beautiful. There's the outside of what God has created as a woman, there's very few things that are more beautiful in creation than a flower. And that is a godly, holy, precious woman of the Lord is as beautiful as a flower, and there's nothing to take away its beauty. Husbands, treat your wives right. Dwell with them according to knowledge, and be not bitter against them. That our homes are a testimony to this lost and dying world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, dear God. Thank you for your precious word, dear Lord. Lord, God, help us, Lord. Help us, dear Father. Help us to get a hold of your word. God, help us not to let truth fall in the streets. Lord, I'm afraid today truth has fallen in the streets. It's being trampled upon. It's being neglected. It's being disregarded. And Lord, we're in a mess. God, help our country, Lord. We don't deserve it, dear Lord. We don't deserve your help, dear God. Our country has turned its back on you, Lord. We've spit in your face, dear Lord, as a nation. God, help us as a country, Lord. Help us as individuals in this country, Lord, to be that light that shines in a perverse and crooked nation. Lord, help our women to be godly women. And Lord, help our men to be godly men. Help us, Lord, to know the proper order that you've set up from the very beginning, dear God. And help us to take each of our roles seriously, Lord, for someday we are going to have to give an account of it. Lord, help us to dwell on these things. Help us to meditate upon them, dear God, and help us to glorify you in the lives that you've given us to live, in the positions you've given us to live them in. Lord, help this church, dear God, and Lord, help us as we go into this next preaching hour. Lord, give us what we need. Lord, watch over us, and I pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Take a little break here, and we'll get started in a minute. Amen.